In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reading for the sermon today is the third reading, Mark chapter 11, as it has been read. Please be seated. You and I, like many Christians, are probably familiar with the details of the major events that took place on Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. But what took place on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week? Those 3 days contain some of Jesus' most significant action, most significant teaching, and most significant confrontation with the religious leaders of his day. Beginning today and continuing with the 5 remaining midweek services, we explore what took place on those significant days between Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday. The reading for today from Mark chapter 11 takes place on that Monday of Holy Week. On the previous day, Palm Sunday, Jesus was welcomed to Jerusalem with great enthusiasm and shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Palm Sunday ended on a bit of a strange note, as Mark records a few verses before our reading. It says this: Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, Monday of Holy Week, Jesus would do a lot more than merely look around the temple grounds. Jesus was disgusted with what he saw, and our Lord took significant action. Our Lord took significant action. As Mark records, Jesus began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. He overturned tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And quoting Isaiah 56 that we read tonight, Jesus states, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Granted, this might seem a bit shocking to us. This is not the way we are accustomed to seeing Jesus. And it's definitely not the meek and mild Jesus we sang about at Christmas a couple months ago. So just what was happening in our reading? It was the time of the Passover festival. And the Passover festival was celebrated annually by the Jews in remembrance of God delivering his people from their slavery in Egypt. And each year, a multitude of Jews would come to Jerusalem to celebrate. Many came from far away, and it was much easier for them to buy the animals they needed to sacrifice as close to the temple as possible, rather than trying to bring animals with them over long distance, who know how far. And to make matters convenient, the priests just happened to have pre-approved animals for these travelers to purchase. What a coincidence. Of course, these animals came at a premium price. There were even reports of kickbacks to some of the priests. There were reports of priests rejecting animals purchased at places other than the official temple vendors. to force people to buy from certain salesmen. Travelers to Jerusalem also came with foreigner currency and had to exchange it for the currency that was acceptable to pay the temple tax. And as you might expect, there were reports of the money changers charging very high exchange fees. The focus was no longer on God, prayer, and sacrifice, but on the business of the temple at Passover time. That had become the point of emphasis. But there was still something much worse happening. Note how Jesus' quote of Isaiah, he states that the temple was to be a house of prayer for all nations. A house of prayer for all nations. It was to be a house of prayer, not just for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. That's why the temple was constructed with a court for male Jews, a court for female Jews, and a court for Gentiles. When some of the temple areas were converted into marketplace, where would the Gentiles, the nations, be able to pray and worship? The temple, meant to be a house of prayer for all nations, was instead a money-making machine for the religious leaders and all who were involved in their greed. This is why Jesus launched into significant action, clearing the temple grounds. A day of significant action on the part of Jesus sends a message to you and me. We too can be tempted to turn the practice of Christian faith into a means to line our pockets, to make our budget for the year. And it's so easy for us to give budgets and offerings and income and expenses such a high priority that we may lose sight of the real reason we are doing what we are doing as a congregation. Do we view new people or people that are not part of our church with joy as people like us who need to be fed with God's gifts of word and sacrament? Or do we at least in part, when they come, welcome them with the thought in the back of my mind that these people can help us make our budget? Is our top priority to reach and save the lost, to make disciples of all nations, as Jesus said? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a budget and that we shouldn't plan and make financial projections. No, I'm not saying that. But we must be on guard to keep our priorities straight. Budgets are to serve ministry, and not the other way around. The money changers and the vendors who sold animals for sacrifice placed a real obstacle in the way for people to worship, especially the Gentiles. In fact, they made pretty much impossible for the Gentiles to pray and worship in the temple courts. Are there any obstacles to worship of God in your life this day? Are there obstacles that are self-inflicted? Are there obstacles that are place by someone else, perhaps someone close to you? Or are you perhaps placing obstacles in the lives of others who seek to worship? What is stopping you from hearing God's word and receiving the Lord's Supper often? Jesus would like nothing more than to take significant action in overturning and driving those obstacles out of your life so that you might receive from Him His good gifts of word and sacrament. It was significant action indeed on the part of Jesus on that Monday of this most holy week. Yet, it would pale by comparison to the significant action He would take for you, for me, and for all people at the end of this week. He would not drive vendors and animals from the temple court. Instead, He would drive sin, death, and the devil from their place of rule and dominance in the lives of people. And in so doing, He drove out what separated us from God. That is, our sin. And all that Christ accomplished for you became yours on a wonderful day of significant action in your life. The day of your baptism. On that day, the Holy Spirit, working through water and the Word, called you to faith, washed you away all your sins, claimed you as child of God, and made you an heir of everlasting life. It was indeed a day of significant action on God's part. As you might expect, the religious leaders of the day were not very happy and pleased with the action Jesus took on Monday of Holy Week. It was definitely not good for business. Mark even records that the chief priests and scribes were seeking a way to destroy Jesus. And by the end of Holy Week, they will think that they have done exactly that. So, I invite you to worship with us again next week as we continue to explore these things. What happened on this significant days of Holy Week. Don't miss it. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.